You're listening to Unraveling. This podcast brings together a collection of raw, authentic conversations about the messy truth of life. I'm your host, Lauren Barber, and I have created Unraveling to explore both my own and others' inspiring journeys to reconnect back to themselves. Unraveling is an expression of both the highs and the lows of everyday life and covers a medley of topics inspired by my own adventures, from magical mysticism, mental health and menstruation, to self-expression, co-creation, and personal evolution through movement, meditation and intuitive practices that help us remember and reclaim our true essence. Thank you for tuning in and joining me on this beautiful process of unraveling. Now, let's head to the show. Hi everyone, welcome to episode 19, I think, of Unraveling. I can't believe we're at that episode number already. This week on the podcast, I got to speak to Claire Fairhurst, who I have been friends with for quite some years, since I think pretty much since I joined Instagram, of course, another Instagram friend. and I have watched her journey unfold in a really beautiful and real way, and it's been a real honor to share space with her on numerous occasions, and sort of to have her as a friend and as a support. She's been really incredibly supportive to me during challenging times, and I was really grateful that she agreed to come onto the podcast to speak to us. So the conversation, you know, has gone down the usual kind of different directions, and I love that about this podcast and about how the conversations can just evolve and go wherever they need to go. And we talk about lots of different things, really about kind of listening to the language of the body, to connecting in with ourselves, and seeing or hearing what our body tells us through illness, through pain, through all of these different things. We talk about emotions, we talk about hitting rock bottom and how we've both sort of navigated our way through that at different times and what it means. It's a really beautiful, raw conversation, and I'm really, really grateful to her for sharing so honestly with us. There were a few little sound issues towards the end. The internet, I think we were having some kind of gales at the time of recording. So bear with me on it. I've tried to edit it as much as I can to make sure it flows, but there are a few little bits and I really don't want to miss any of the juicy details in there. So just before we dive in, Claire is, she says in her own words, if she has to describe herself, she'd say she's a qualified nutritional therapist and is a wellness guide that supports people to live in their natural state of wellness by reconnecting with their own inner wisdom and the language of the body. She's really, really passionate about looking at health from a perspective of being whole, so not just the physical side of things, the emotional and the spiritual element, and really reconnecting with the body to understand the messages that it's communicating with us. She is nurturing, she's deep, she's passionate, she is a really beautiful soul, and I am very excited to share this conversation with you. So we will head straight over to the show now. Hi Claire, it's so lovely to have you on Unraveling today. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. You?
Yes, I am very well as well, thank you. It's a real honour to share space with you today, and I'm really excited about where the conversation's going to go. As everyone who listens regularly will know, there isn't really a plan to these conversations, so we will just see where it takes us. But I'd love to start by just asking you sort of where you're at today and what it is that's brought you to this place in your life.
Oh, so you started with a hard question.
Why not?
Where am I now? It's Yeah, that gosh, that's quite a hard question. I think everything that I've done so far has led me to where I am now. Oh, Lauren, that's really, really hard. I'm in quite a it's quite a content place,
That's
which is
nice.
really nice. Yeah, it's really nice. There's always, I mean, don't get me wrong, I've been putting my work out into the world, and it hasn't come without anxiety. Because it's very, very different to what I've been doing before. So there has been a lot of self-inquiry and questions as to what I'm sharing and why. So right now I feel quite content with what I'm putting out there and where I'm at. Yeah, it feels quite good. It feels quite nice at the minute.
And what is it you're putting out there at the moment, in a nutshell?
Oh gosh. In a nutshell, I think the main thing that I want to put out there is one, to get away from, there's so much information in the wellness world, and that's where I've been for quite a long time. My journey started, gosh, quite a long time ago now, in the health world, but being a nurse. And that was kind of the start, the catalyst of where I'm at now, because it was a job and a place that was so demanding, physically and emotionally. I didn't really understand anything about wellness at the time. I just wanted to help and support people. And then I got really, really sick. I got sick because I hadn't a basic understanding of nutrition, so therefore my diet consisted pretty much of black coffee and chocolate. So I got burnt out really quickly. It made me very unwell physically, but mentally, I suffered from depression, so it was a really tough place for me to juggle that and to go to work and be, at work at optimum level. So
To support other people, I guess, when you're in that space, must be
yeah,
really
it's
challenging.
really, really hard. So that was pretty much my first rock bottom. And I needed to be able to heal myself. So I went to a naturopath. Sorry, we have an alarm outside.
That's all right.
So I went to a naturopath, and she recommended dietary changes, which I did. And within 2 weeks, the difference was dramatic. It was really dramatic. And being, so I'm an MG in human design. So as if people know, that's kind of like you get excited about something, you go 100 miles an hour, and you dive in completely. So I did. So I went and studied nutritional therapy, and for me, it was like singing, ah, oh, this is it, this is the thing. So I started my own practice, which was Jigsaw Nutrition, and I started seeing clients, and I got some really, really good results with people. But after time, it got to a place where I was seeing a lot of plateaus. People were always getting so far, and then that was it. They weren't really moving forward, or they weren't feeling as well as I knew that they could. So then I started delving into other things like energetics, flower essences, and then I enrolled at Chakra School. So there was an online course, a 6 month online course that I did looking at the chakras, and that was life changing too for me personally. And I really wanted to incorporate this stuff into my business, but I was so conflicted because it wasn't scientific, in a way that in the place that I'd come from. So I'd come from a nursing background, and it all had to have papers and evidence base behind it. And I found that the things that were working were the things that people weren't really aware of. So I really held that back for quite a long time. and just did all this work on myself, lots of reading, all of this kind of stuff. And it's only more recently that I've started to be more open about that side of things, because I do believe, and I have for a really long time, that in order to be well, we have to look at ourselves as completely whole, and completely whole in a concept of not just physically, but emotionally, spiritually, you know, everything all together. So we have to look at that all together. And yeah, that's kind of where it's kind of led me to, I guess. There's so much more than that, but that's the basis. That's the basis of where I come from and what led me to where I'm at.
That's amazing. So for anybody that doesn't really know much about the chakras, can you go into a little bit more detail as to sort of like what they mean to, like how you use that in your life for your own personal work, and then how, you know, how other people can perhaps intuitively sort of connect in with their own healing work through the chakras? Like what's been your sort of massive takeaway from that?
I think when I first started to do it, is we make everything so much more complicated than it is. So when we think about energy, you know, we think, oh, we couldn't possibly know, but we know intuitively, we know. And from the people who I work with, you know, you can suggest something and somebody will always say to me every time without fail, I've been doing that, or I've really felt the need to start eating this food, or I've been really drawn to that color. Our body intuitively knows, and this is something I am so passionate about helping people with, because we've just been sold this concept that everybody else around us has the answers and we don't. So in terms of the chakras, when I started learning about them, so there are energy points in the body, you know, more commonly it's, you know, the information says we have 7, other information says we have 12, other information says we have a lot more than that, they just haven't been discovered yet. When I learned about them, I learned that, you know, that 7 in particular, and each chakra is corresponding with a specific color, parts of the body, specific parts of the body, specific color, specific days, specific planets, all of this kind of stuff. And in order to get to our natural state of well-being, which is what, you know, people call it optimum health or whatever you want to call it, but your natural state of being in alignment, when you have these energy centers moving well, they help to nourish our bodies so that we can live in that alignment. When there is a blockage or a sluggishness or as something that's stopping it from working as well as it could, then you start getting issues with the body part that it correlates with. Or so, for example, the root chakra, it's to do with security, you know, the material stuff on this earth. So, you know, you finance it, you know, finances, support, community, everything like that. And it corresponds with things like the feet, the legs, you know, some people say it's the adrenals too. So it's all about that security and stability. When things, you know, if the root chakra for many reasons isn't working as well as it should, then you can have fear of, you know, not having enough money or not having the support, not feeling like you belong on the earth. You know, so you can start incorporating things that particular chakra loves. So, for example, the root chakra, being out in nature, absolutely loves to, you know, the color red, all of these types of things. roots, vegetables. And when you talk to people and you look at them as a whole, you can see where it all corresponds. Now, I know from doing this work that the first three chakras are the ones you want to stabilize the most. When we go into any kind of spiritual work, everybody wants to open their third eye. Everyone gets super passionate about, oh my
being
gosh,
enlightened.
I'm gonna be able to see. Yeah. So I want to be able to do all of these wonderful things and see everything and, you know, enhance my intuition. But if you don't have the foundations, which, you know, I always see them as a triangle. If you don't have a solid foundational triangle, which is the root chakra, the sacral chakra, and the solar plexus, then really it's, you're building things up on shaky ground, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah, so it really does.
You really need to, yeah. So when I work with people, I will look at it, you know, everything is connected. So you look at the physical, what's going on, and then you can see which chakra is underperforming or actually overperforming, because they can go either way. Yeah, so spinning vortexes of energy, we need to keep healthy. So whilst intuitively, you know, we're probably doing things that really support it. So time of year as well, you know, this is where we need to kind of root down, and that's what's available. You know, you go outside in nature, all of the root vegetables are available, you know, all the colors are changing to reds and golden. You know, it's just amazing to me. We already know this stuff. We don't have to go to a school. We don't have to, you know, get any certificates, or we already know. We just need reminding.
Yeah, it's just the remembering, isn't it? That
yeah.
All this stuff that we would intuitively probably have been guided to probably as a child, mm-hmm. Or maybe, you know, as we get older, I think, sort of the conditioning comes in and perhaps we start to mistrust those intuitive hits. And I loved what you said about the you know, the fact that most people want to come in and open up their third eye and they're not prepared to do the work to ground into their body. And I think that for me, I find that's where like the movement and the physical practice of yoga is a really great place to start, because it does connect you into the body first, and then you can, without that connection, you kind of forget that you're human and you get so much into your head. And we have to remember that we're actually, you know, yes, we are souls and we are, you know, we are more than just this body, but we are in this body right now.
Mm-hmm. And also it's quite, it can be quite frightening, because when we're in our body, we have to feel.
Yeah.
You know, we have to feel the whole experience. And to be honest, sometimes it's terrifying. If we've had any adverse experiences, which let's face it, we all have, if we've had things that are quite upsetting, which provoke anger or frustration, it's really, really hard to be in our body and to feel that fully.
Yeah.
It's completely necessary for wellness, but it can be so overwhelming that absolutely you can see why people don't want to do it. They just want to, you know, feel better and find any way of doing that. But yeah, it's absolutely necessary to be in your body through any, you know, through grounding, which, you know, movement, smells, food, colors, however, you know, it most resonates with you. It's really important to get in your body first. One of the things that I really want to kind of, I guess, reconnect people with is that, you know, we always think of ill health as, you know, it's being done to us. It's something that, oh my gosh, I'm suffering from this. And an illness can be horrendous. But everything we experience, our body isn't against us. It really isn't. What we see as illness is this, it's this crazy, beautiful language of communication that has been long forgotten, but is asking us to remember. One of the reasons I started getting into the language of the body and how the body communicates with us is I got to a point in my own health where I was doing all the things, like literally all the things. And I was taking everybody else's word as the thing. You know, they said this, so it must be true for me. But I was never listening to myself. And then I went out for a walk one day and I get hits as visions. And I saw myself in a GP surgery, which when I was a child was a pretty frequent occurrence. And the doctor had out one of those tongue depressors and was checking my tongue. And then he was pulling my eyelids down to have a look in my eyes. And it occurred to me that even in that space, the doctor was looking for the signs that my body was giving him so that he could read them and make a diagnosis. So already my body was talking and somebody else was reading that information. And even in nutritional therapy, we do tongue diagnosis and nail diagnosis. So these two things, you know, are giving us information by the, you know, how they look on the tongue, whereabouts something is presenting itself. So if the body is talking to us via our tongue and via our nails and via our eyes, why are we discounting any other part of the body? So why are we not listening to the pain that's coming up consistently in our back, or that chronic headache that will not go away? Why are we not kind of sitting with that and asking, okay, what is it? Why is this coming up over and over and over? What are you trying to tell me? And I know that sounds so out there, but when you sit and you listen, actually there's a language that, you know, it's quite mind-blowing, because everything, like we said before about being in our body and feeling emotions can be really uncomfortable and we just don't want to feel them. But everything is energetic, so everything that happens is an emotion, you know, an emotion. If we don't deal with those emotions, then what happens is it gets stuck. And if it keeps coming up in our environment and we don't want to deal with it, what happens is it will manifest as a physical illness. And we always pay attention, or I say we always, most of the time we pay attention when something physical happens. If we start having pain, hey, then we start to notice. If we get lumps and bumps, yeah, then we'll make a trip to the doctors. So then it has our attention. So why not start that dialogue before, you know? So anything emotionally that's not been dealt with, it does come up physically in the body. And I've seen it time and time again with people. You have a look at what the body's saying and where the pain is or what the illness is, and the two things match together when people then talk about their experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it totally does. And like, how, if someone is sort of in that space now of wanting to take a little bit more notice of what their body is telling them, but isn't really sure like how to even go about it, because I think this is where we then turn to someone else, to turn to an expert, and an expert in inverted commas, you know, like someone else. And there are certain people that you could go to, and they will tell you that it's a certain, you know, they will tell you a certain way of fixing something, as if, you know, like without the intuitive sort of idea. But then there are other people, I think, like yourself, who are more about holding the space for them to get the answers for themselves, which to me feels more empowering. But the when you're in that space of not knowing what to do, and it's at the very beginning of this journey of kind of self-inquiry, it can be really hard to not turn to this person.
Absolutely. And there's always a disclaimer. So, you know, you have to be, you know, you have to have common sense about this. If something's come up that, you know, has never been there before, so you've got lumps and bumps, then absolutely, I would not sit there and say, oh, just sit with it and see what. No, that's not how it goes. You would go to the doctors, you would get it checked out. You know, there is always that. So you always have to be really mindful if something comes up that hasn't been, you know, always, always have it checked out by a GP or a health professional first. But when it comes to things like, so let's take back pain, for example. You start waking up, start getting some lower back pain. It's really challenging for people to get quiet. We live in a time where, you know, being super busy, being, you know, constantly on the go is seen as a really productive thing, but it's not. So it's the first thing, I guess, is to start carving out time for yourself. Start carving out space. When you start giving yourself permission to just be with yourself, things start to change, because then you're making yourself a priority. So to, I guess, to sit with it and just be quiet for 5 minutes, and then you can start to build that up to whatever feels most appropriate for you. So even in those 5 minutes, you can do a quick body scan, which is nothing, you know, complex. You don't even have to do a whole body scan. You can just sit and feel what's going on. So do you have pain? Where do you have pain? Is something feeling uncomfortable? How does it feel? Just being really mindful of what's going on. So for example, okay, I have back pain. Where is it? It's really, you know, it's lower back pain. Okay. And then just keep coming up with self-inquiry. What is it, you know, trying to tell me? Have I done anything different? Am I feeling, you know, am I feeling unsupported? Do I have support? What are my concerns right now? What am I worried about? Anything that comes up in those 5 minutes, just kind of make a note. And as soon as those 5 minutes are up, just journal out anything that's come up for you and continue to do this over a couple of days, and you will see themes occurring. But the first two things I would say, clearing space for yourself, making that space, and being okay with what's coming up. So just acknowledging it. Even if you don't get answers, just, okay, this is coming up for me, and that's okay right now.
And I guess even if it, the answers, you know, like if you give yourself a day or so, I think the instant reaction is like when something like that happens, like you start getting pain or something, like your instant reaction is to go and seek external support, which might be exactly what you need. But I think if you just give yourself even 5 minutes when it first shows up to listen in, and to actually, it might be that your kind of body says, yeah, okay, you need to go to the doctors or the chiro or something. Mm-hmm. But it might also be that it's like, oh, well, actually yesterday you sat in a car for 10 hours and you were having you had a really stressful day, and you've held on to tension, and actually just by sitting and relaxing the body and telling the body that it's safe and it's okay, that back pain might actually ease. So I guess it's being open to the answers that come up, whatever they are.
Yeah, absolutely. But just that act in itself of being with yourself, of carving out that time, it can't be underestimated. You know, we all say, oh, we don't have time to meditate, we don't have time, you know, there's just too many other things to be done. But what I've learned from experience is, you know, if you don't carve out that time, eventually, if you keep going, you know, if you keep at the pace you're going, you will be stopped at some point. because nobody can continue to do as much as we've been told we need to accumulate all this stuff that we don't need. You know, our body will stop us at some point. And that's pretty much why, you know, when everyone goes on holiday, they stop, they switch off from work, and the first thing that happens is they get ill. Yeah, it's because the body is continually working on adrenaline that actually the body doesn't have time to rest and heal. So just by giving yourself those 5 minutes a day is such a gift, and it really does make changes, which can, you know, people can be quite doubtful of that. But for me, it's not about me saying, do this and this outcome will happen. It's about, nobody can tell you what's good for you, because nobody can tell you what food is best for you unless you ingest it and feel how it makes you feel.
Yeah.
Nobody can tell you, you know, what exercise is best for you until you do it yourself. So this is where just having, you know, carving out that time, you get to, you know, start to reconnect with your body. You start to get those, actually, I really feel like, I don't know, eating loads of beetroots, or, you know, it's just, it can be something really random, but actually your body will then start telling you what it needs to then get back onto a path of a natural state of wellness.
Yeah, no, I really resonate with that. Do you think that part of the journey of coming back to this, though, is kind of giving the power away and then reclaiming that power in some ways?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, we almost have to go through that to realize that we do have the power all the time.
without a doubt. I mean, when I started on my journey, I ingested all the books, all the things,
all the superfoods.
Yeah, exactly. I put all the people, you know, whose books I read, whose seminars and summits I went to on, oh my gosh, they know, you know, they really do. You know, there is truth in everything. And you can find that. It's whatever really, really resonates with you. But then I started to find that, you know, I was doing all of these things and it was just taking up more and more of my time, and I was spending less time with myself and more time doing all of the things. And let's face it, it's, you know, one, it's expensive, and two, the time investment is also really huge. And it was taking away from myself. And then I had an experience where it was probably the biggest shakeup of my entire life, and it left me, you know, questioning so many things. You know, who was the authority on my wellness? Who was I listening to when it came to my own health, and why did I think they had the answers and I didn't? Because, you know, they weren't in my body. I was taking everybody else's information, you know, everybody else's beliefs, and making them more important than my own. I mean, every single belief is an opinion. An opinion is just, you know, it's just a preference for thinking about something. So therefore I had to be really, really discerning, whose belief do I want to, you know, is their belief my belief, or is their belief just something that I'm sold? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's kind of about, I guess, in some ways it's, we've almost been taught that we need to listen to others first and then make our decisions, but actually it's more about listening to ourselves first and then being drawn to whatever resonates with that from others. And there's amazing information out there, of course, that, you know, that we don't know yet, but it's kind of, if we listen to ourselves and know ourselves first, then we can make more conscious decisions, I guess, about what we do ingest in terms of information, in terms of food, in terms of whatever it is, rather than kind of going to everything else first and coming to us last. I guess it comes back down to the kind of worthiness, like not feeling good enough to come back, you know, to know the answers within us.
Yeah, to not trust ourselves.
Mm.
So when I had my experience where it was like a, you know, I'd had rock bottoms before, but this was kind of, you know, this was really, you know, every other one had been on a walk in the park, even though it really wasn't. And every single thing stripped from my life. So the only person that I could actually listen to was myself, because there was nobody else around. So then I started to really listen to myself, and this is where I, you know, I really got interested in listening to my own body and picking up signs and what it was saying, and signs around us too. Because on this journey, you know, on this wellness journey, we always think one, everyone else has the answers, and they don't, and that nobody else could possibly understand, and that, you know, we are more supported than we ever know. You know, we really are. We do have more power than we've been told. We really do have to see ourselves as completely whole, and that nothing that happens to us in terms of health or anything in general, it happens for us because either there's a lesson in it. Everything, no matter how dark and overwhelming, you know, there's always something positive that comes out of it, and I do not say that lightly. I really really don't. But there's always something that helps us to grow into our, or you know, natural state. There really is. It's always something that's taking us closer and closer to our natural state of wellness and who we are and what we're, you know, what we're supposed to be doing.
That rock bottom place, if you know, for anybody that's feels like they're there right now, because I think, you know, both you and I have spent times in that place, and you know, and I think you said earlier, you know, like you hit your first rock bottom when you kind of burnt out when you were a nurse, but then you think you've got to rock bottom.
But I think that was probably the second or third, to be honest.
But it's like you kind of think you're at rock bottom, and then you're like, oh, here's another layer. Like, oh, it goes deeper. Really? Okay. But how, like, you know, like when you're in that place and it is really dark, and it's that, you know, you genuinely don't know how to, you know, get through the next 5 minutes, let alone you know, the potential of future, like how have you brought yourself back to seeing the gifts? Because I think sometimes you can't see them at the time, and you have to just accept
you
that.
Absolutely can't. No, you can't. So I think on my absolute worst times, I think that there have always been nuggets of things I've always done, even in the most awful rock bottom, don't want to get out of bed, feel like I'm scratching my nails trying to climb up a wall, and you know, that just all kinds of horrible darkness, to always do something for yourself no matter how small. So for me, I always would, no matter how bad I was feeling, I would always make my bed. I'd always make my bed, because to me that was an act of saying, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I don't know what I'm doing, I feel like absolute, you know.
Yeah, but, you can swear, by the way.
Okay.
Feel free.
But this is an act of self-care for me. To eat at least one, something nourishing every day, and go outside, no matter how bad it feels, just walk for even if, and you know, there have been many occasions where I've just done this, you just open the front door and feel the wind and just get fresh air for a couple of minutes. Do those three things every day, as you know, even if it's just for 5 minutes. I mean, making the bed, couple of minutes, making a nourishing meal. Yeah, that can be really hard sometimes because you just don't feel like it. But even if it's just scrambled egg, you know, that takes less than a couple of minutes. And going for a walk, even if you don't go for a walk, just open the front door and get fresh air. And know above everything else that you do not stay in the place that you are. It will always change. And there is always better that comes, always. And I really don't say that lightly because I, you know, have been in such dark places. I do talk about this on social media, but my we all have a weak link in the body. So wherever something isn't as strong, that's kind of when we're unwell, not unwell, but when we stop looking after ourselves well, it's kind of the thing that kind of pops up first, I guess. So it could be hyperthyroidism, it could be digestive issues, it could be mental health. And for me, it was always digestive issues. Yeah, that's always an ongoing process. But for me, it was always mental health. So I'd always, ever since I could remember, I'd always felt depressed. I had to grow up really, really quickly. So I'd never had those feelings of really being a child and feeling joyful and all of that stuff. So for me, that's where it always kind of popped up. And it was only later on in life that I understood and realized that I am an I don't like the word empath, but it's the only way I can describe it. So I would soak up everybody else's feelings at home. And that's what I was absorbing constantly in my environment. And it was my state of wellness for such a long time. So I'm pretty familiar with this place of darkness, which is why I'm so adamant to empower people to know that, you know, there is different. We do know more. We do have the tools. We just don't trust ourselves to use them. But I would definitely say those three things. Nature, plant-based food, you know, a lot of fruits and vegetables if you can. And even if you don't have the resources, which, you know, there are many, many people who, you know, say, well, I can't afford to eat this way. You really can go outside and there is an abundance of food, you know.
I guess even if it's an apple.
Yeah, exactly. There's just so much good stuff outside that we've been so disconnected from. There are many, many books in the library that you can, even if you don't have a library card, you can sit and read a couple, and, you know, on wild food, or there are many ways of being well without spending anything at all.
And I think one of the things that has always, when I've been in those darker places, I think, and you're not sure like how to get through, someone once said to me, it was just, you know, like, you don't have to worry about tomorrow or the next week, it's just now. And for me, the
not
biggest
even 5 minutes,
no, exactly, minute, this one breath,
and yeah,
yeah, exactly. That's the one thing that's kept, like, that I've anchored to, is like, whenever that there is that feeling of total overwhelm, I just think, just this one breath. That's all I have to focus on right now, is just this one breath. And that's enough, you know, the breath is free, is, exactly, it's nourishing.
Super powerful.
And so powerful. And like things, you know, I've also lent on like movement, you know, like shaking my body to like let some of the trauma out of, you know, those emotions when you've got that kind of feeling of this sort of stagnation in the body and you don't know how to move through it. I think it's actually letting it move through you and shaking for me, like shaking my whole body has been really powerful. Mm-hmm. Really powerful.
One of the things I in my learning about my, you know, the chakras and or chakras, however you say it, anyway. So learning about those, one of the things that was recommended is, you know, because when we feel like that, we tend to come out of our bodies very, very easily because it hurts. You know, it hurts. We don't want to experience it. So raw dancing, which is like you just move. You stick on a song that you love and you just move. Like, it doesn't matter who's watching, or, you know, just move in whatever way it feels good to your body. But also tribal music. So anything with drums, anything with a really, really strong beat, is kind of the equivalent of bashing a cushion with a baseball bat. So, you know, stick on that music as loud or as, you know, low as you want it to be and just really get everything out. That's really, really powerful. And it's really strengthening for the root chakra as well. So a lot of the time when we feel in like we're in such a dark place, we're really unrooted from the ground and we may be feeling super unsupported and like everything is just going to shit. But actually, if we can strengthen that, it's really powerful. And it really, really does help. And I've seen from experience, because I did the chakra school when, you know, when my marriage was ending, and there was, you know, I thought that was bad. And then if you ever, don't ever say to the universe, you know, what more can happen?
Oh, God.
Say that. Don't say that. Because guaranteed there's always something. And I started doing that when it was a really, really bad time in my life. And it helped so much. Just even if I did nothing all day, because I couldn't, I just was not in a place to do that. Just that one act of shaking shit out was really helpful. And cry and journal. And something I find really, really helpful is, so journaling. So I had a session with Danny Beinstein once. He's a psychological astrologer, I think.
Oh yeah, I've seen her on Instagram.
And she recommended for me to do 20 minutes of just journaling stuff out. Never ever read it back, just write it out and rip it up. But also alongside that, something I find really helpful is the recording app on your phone. If there's something that maybe you need to say to somebody else, or you can't really find the words, or but you need to say it because it's blocking you from doing something, use the voice app on your phone and have that conversation as if you were having it with that other person. So you don't have to censor yourself at all. Say what you need to say and get it out, but never ever listen back. Just delete it so it's out there and it's done. So there are two things that I find really, really helpful too.
Yeah, I love the idea. You know, it's effectively, like, I think if we think about these feelings, and, you know, as you said, you know, these feelings are energy, and if these feelings are not,
you need to move
voiced
them
or shown, like given their, you know, the attention that they need or they're trying to get, then they will literally stay in you, like they will stay stuck in your body, and it's like a toxin. And unless there is some way of releasing them, whether that's through movement, through, like, I find going and like sweating, like going and doing a really strong exercise class where I sweat, like it.
Oh, I'd love to say I do that, but I don't.
I get a lot out of that. Or, you know, as you say, like saying.
And that's the perfection, because everybody is so different and we have to find what works for us. You know, one of the, I think through my own experience, because I've experienced those dark moments more than I would ever wish for anybody to experience them, is really, it's hard to feel them, but it's so much more painful to not feel them and to spend year after year after year after year trying to figure out how to feel better. The knowledge I have now, you know, is fantastic, but I wish if I could speak to my younger self, I would most definitely say, look, it hurts and it sucks and it's painful, but oh my gosh, it is less painful to deal with it on a short-term basis than it is to have it chronically for so many years of your life, for it to suck the life out of your life. Just take those smaller moments and really get in your body and feel it and let it pass. No matter how painful it may be, it will never, it will always move out of the body some way, but start to do it. Because literally it is like trying to hold an inflatable ball underwater for years and years and years. It takes up so much energy. This is also why it's really important to look at when it comes to wellness, what are you doing with your energy? Where are you expending it? Where are you, who are you giving it away to? Because a lot of the time people are exhausted, they are tired as anything. And then you look at so when I was doing just a sole nutritional therapy consultation, we would constantly look at, okay, so let's get more ways of increasing your energy. So let's take some B vitamins or have this breakfast solution. But actually what was happening was it wasn't the food. They were sat in a job that sucked the life out of them. They were spending time with people who really were just constantly complaining and they were draining them. So they were exhausted. So actually what was happening was it wasn't just, I mean, looking at the food, fantastic. And yes, very, very important. But what was happening was their energy expenditure on a daily basis, they were giving so much of it away to other people and overgiving and putting it in places that didn't serve them, that actually what needed to happen was not a change in diet, was actually cutting out people and shit from their life that really was just draining them completely. So this is why it's really important to look at things on a whole level, because it wasn't ever, when I was doing the consultations, it stopped being about the food and it started to actually, no, you need to look in a different place. You need to be looking at external circumstances. Because our body always knows, when we do something for example, a while ago now, I considered to go back to nursing because I love supporting people. I love helping people. I think Donna James has an archetype diet and I'm a nurturer. So for me, to nurture people is just my thing. I love to be everyone else's cheerleader and to support other people into finding this place of wellness. But when I went back to university, my body soon told me, like really, really quickly, that actually I would go to a lecture and I would be in this room and there were fluorescent lights, which, suck the life out of you anyway. And I was around people that were, lovely, lovely people. But as soon as I got home at 2:30, my body shut down and I was fast asleep. And I soon realized, no, this is not my thing. It burnt me out the first time. So therefore the universe is telling me this is not the place that you're supposed to be. So it burnt me out to pick me up and put me somewhere else. But my body knew, it knew already. So it was just shutting down as soon as, because I was so exhausted, it needed to sleep straight away to, help me to recover. So all of these things we need to look at. It's so important to deal with those things that come up and to not let them fester and to not let them, think that they're just going to go away, because they don't. And this is why it manifests as a physical illness. And then the body, will tell you, I am putting this pain here because I you need more support, you need to strengthen your support system, or you need to tell that person who you're super pissed off at that actually things need to change and you need to strengthen your boundaries. You know, all of these things are communicating with us all of the time. So to look at just one aspect is helpful to a certain extent, but you need to look at an entire perspective. You need to look at things from a bigger perspective. And when you're in it, that's really, really difficult to do because you can only literally see what's in front of you. So for me, it's never about telling people this is what you need to do, but it's about me looking down and saying, okay, well, maybe look at it from this perspective, or maybe try this. You know, it's not about do this and, you know, like eat this food 3 times a day or or incorporate this food into your diet 2x a week. It's not about that. It's more than that. It's about supporting people on a whole level to say, okay, well, this is coming up for a reason. So being in that space of giving support when it can be really challenging and it can be really tough. And I know the really tough moments. I know the really challenging moments and the really frustrating moments. And I think for me, it's just so important to give that support because I also don't want other people to feel in positions that I've been in, if that makes sense. So it's dealing with what's coming up and not being afraid of that, and also looking at things on a bigger level and knowing that no matter how dark it gets, it's happening for you to bring you back to bring you back, however you want to look at it, to a place of actually I enjoy being in my body. I feel well. However that resonates with you, I feel well, I feel happy, I feel content, I love what I do, because we're not here to feel unwell. We're not here to work shitty jobs. We're not here to spend our lives with toxic people. We're just not, but we feel like we have no choice, and there is a choice. There very much is. I just want to empower people to know that they already know more than they do, and there can be different.
I think also it's like sort of understanding that there's always learning and there's always lessons along the way, and actually letting go of, for me personally, it's a lot of it has been about letting go of perfection and about the fear of getting it wrong, because I've had to get things wrong to actually learn what's right for me, like what feels right. So I think there's a bit of a fear that, you know, if you try something and it doesn't work, like a bit like, you know, you going back to the nursing, like you had to try that to see if it was right. And then your body was like, no, this isn't right for you at this time. You know, it's not to say that in the future it won't be, but right now.
Exactly. It's not to say that if you try something now and it doesn't work, it's not for you forever. You know, because we have the right to change our minds at any point. You know, it doesn't make us fickle. It just means that things are changing and uncovering, and who you were last year isn't who you are now. It's not who you're going to be next year. And in those moments, we always change. So, you know, my belief system from 5 years ago, my gosh, I really am a completely different person. I very different beliefs, and it's, you know, we're constantly changing. And something that's really important for me is to let go of, you know, I don't have answers, which is quite a statement, because people want you to have answers. People want you to fix them. And one, there's nothing that needs fixing, because everything is just unpeeling. That's what I believe. You know, we don't need to fix anything. We may need to look at why we're doing something, or look at a belief system we have. Of where did it come from? Is it mine? Why am I doing what I'm doing? So for example, you know, I talk about there's lots of things in wellness that are free, but I'm still a sucker for, you know, I love herbs, I love tonics, I still love making drinks. Are they necessary for wellness? Absolutely not. But one of the reasons I like it is because for me it's like a meditative practice. I like it because it makes me it gives me that time to myself in the kitchen, and I like sitting with it. That for me, that's my creating space. But no, it's not necessary for wellness. I still like beautiful packaging. But now I'm very discerning about where I choose to place my energy, i.e. where I want to spend my money. But I still like all of those things. I just don't believe that we need those things to feel well. I do question if I get super excited about something. It's like, oh, you know, the next new thing. Okay, but why do I need it? Is it really going to enhance my health or well-being? Or am I trying to replace it because I'm feeling I need to fill something? So for example, I talk about nourishment, but nourishment without food. So we constantly think that when we're hungry, you know, we'll go to the fridge and we'll stick our head in the fridge and say, we're stood there contemplating what to eat, but actually I'm not hungry for food. I'm hungry because I need to, I don't know, hang out in a gallery for a couple of hours, because that nourishes me more than any food I could eat. So are we doing things that actually fill us up in a way that we try and get from food, but it's not food that we need?
Food's the easiest thing to go to when we feel like that, yeah. I guess, right? And that's where I suppose, you know, and it's probably a whole nother conversation, but, you know, the sort of emotional aspects of eating and mm-hmm. kind of, you know, attaching certain foods to certain emotions. I think we all do that.
Oh, absolutely. I'm totally guilty of that too. But what I try to encourage people to do is to, because a lot of the time people, you know, were going to a job that, you know, is okay, maybe at best, yay, at worst, oh, you know, I hate my job. But actually what happens is you're going to work and coming and have a weekend. Maybe those weekends are, you know, taken up with going shopping or cleaning, doing washing, etc. But actually never doing anything that really fills them up. So say for example they love cars, you know, maybe there's a vintage fair, you know, vintage car fair that's coming up and they think, oh yeah, well I can't do that. What are they doing that's actually increasing their energy instead of just expending it everywhere that, you know, so the only thing then in that time that they give themselves is the food. But we really need to expand what nourishes us in without reaching for food. So what do we absolutely love? You know, a good thing right now is just off the top of your head, you know, three things. What do I really love? Write them down and then try where possible to include them in your week. So, for example, I mean, I'm a sucker for old libraries and vintage bookstores and art galleries. So for me, if I'm not feeling, you know, fantastic, or I know my energy is lacking quite a lot, then I'll take myself just to a gallery and the change that comes with it is quite profound, because it's, you feel like you've been recharged when you do something that you absolutely love.
Yeah, I think also
you know, that it can't be underestimated.
And the things that sometimes, you know, that make you almost forget to eat, like they're mm-hmm. often the things that actually are feeding your soul.
Absolutely.
I used to feel like that when I was down at the stables, like I'd be there or at a competition, I'd be there for hours all day. I wouldn't even think about food. And I'm not saying, you know, like that's necessarily the healthiest thing anyway, either. Yeah. But it's like those moments that don't make you, you know, that you're not thinking about your next meal because that's the next mm-hmm. bit of pleasure or enjoyment you're going to get. I mean, for me, it's nature always.
Yeah.
Even, you know, just having this conversation just has reminded me how one of the only times I do find that is when I'm with the horses, and that's something that's not in my life at the moment. So yeah, kind of, you know, reminded me of that. But the other thing for me is yoga nidra. When I'm hungry,
yeah.
I'm often hungry. Like I often use like yoga nidra or deep meditation to fill me back up because that's the recharge.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're not hungry enough to eat an apple, you're definitely not hungry. So therefore you need to look at what you're hungry for. You know, mm-hmm. what do you need? Do you need connection? Do you need connection to other people? If so, can you call a friend or a family member and, you know, hang out for coffee or mm-hmm. just get that connection? Can you connect with somebody over Instagram and have a DM, you know, a message conversation? You know, so always think of it that way. If you're thinking, oh, I'm really hungry, are you really hungry? Would you reach for an apple right now? Or are you looking to fill something different?
Yeah, I mean, it can be very hard to like answer that question honestly, can't it? Because, you know, there are times I know where the thing that I'm actually hungry for, I'm almost too scared to admit because it's, you know, it's something that maybe I can't just magically conjure up, you know. It's mm-hmm.
There are always small steps.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah. Always yeah. small steps that you can take. It, you know, it could be minuscule steps. But definitely always something.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the other thing that you know, another way to that I find kind of reminds me of how full I already am is then coming back to the sort of gratitude practice.
Yeah.
And just, you know, like even just knowing that I've got what running water and mm-hmm. You know, and food in my fridge if I wanted yeah. to eat it, or you know, or friends that support me, or you know, whatever it is. I think yeah, coming to those things mm-hmm. helps me feel
absolutely
more full.
And especially if you are in those really dark places, it's so important. It's, you know, it's important every day to have some form of gratitude practice, even if you don't write it down, just, you know, a couple of minutes. I'm really grateful for this right now. Mm-hmm. It is really important if you're in those dark places.
And it's easy to go to the the depleting places when you are
yeah.
feeling hungry, yeah. like scrolling mindlessly through social media, which does not yeah. feed. I mean, maybe it does. If your Instagram feed is full of inspiration and creativity and it actually does make you feel great, then fine. But then 9 times out of 10, when I'm trying to kind of distract myself from those feelings,
yeah.
Scrolling through Instagram is just mind numbing. Or, you know, even listening to a podcast rather than sitting in silence and eating my lunch or something. Like I find often we go to those external things because we're too scared to be with ourselves mm-hmm. in those moments.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is, you know, it is challenging sometimes to just be with ourselves. You know, I think that's one of the reasons why I manifested a situation where it was just me, literally just me. Mm-hmm. And I can laugh about it now, but oh my God, it was terrifying. It was one of the scariest moments for me. You know, to people, you know, joke about, oh, I scroll but I've got nobody to connect with, and it literally was that situation, and there were no family present, and it was terrifying. But one of the reasons I truly believe that was because I was constantly searching. I was searching everywhere. You know, and people in my life then had previously been telling me, well, somebody must be, you know, there must be somebody to fix you. And those words were told to me over and over and over. And I just constantly went from one person to another, to another, to another, with this, you know, card that said, fix me, there's something wrong with me. And it was only when you know, I started on my journey, the piece by piece started to unfold, but it was only when I was truly, really alone in my life that I realized, no, you know, there's nothing that I know. You know, a lot of the time when I think to myself, well, what do I need? I used to go and reach for a book. And now I sit down and, okay, what does my body need right now? And recently, very recently, as last week, actually, I sat and I, you know, what do I need right now? And I, like I said before, I get pictures and images, and I just had these images of three different herbs, and it was like, oh, okay. And so I bought them, and okay, granted, if you'd put them separately, you know, they would taste vile, but put together and my body drank them up. And I was like, this shit works. And it's not as if I don't believe that it does, but sometimes it just astounds me how much we already know. And it wasn't because I searched in a herbal book. It's not even that I'm a herbalist, because I'm not. Yes, I have a huge passion for plants, and I seem to be so drawn to them. But actually, it was just sitting down and, you know, alongside that, my body was like, okay, what else do I need? Listen to musicals. And I was like, really? but as soon as you put that music on, then it's like that joy, and your body really does just know. I just really want other people to find the, you know, that confidence within themselves to say, actually, I don't need to I don't need to go and spend thousands of pounds doing this, and, you know, just start with the basic things. Start with being outside in nature. Start with creating and carving out space for yourself. Start by looking at where you're throwing your energy around. Mm-hmm. You know, all of this stuff is just so important. But more important than that, it's free. It's not, and I think because it doesn't come in a really gorgeous, you know, aesthetically pleasing package, it's just there.
With a bow on.
We take everything that's free for granted, and we seem to place, well, this is just, I guess, my experience, I seemed to place at the time more value in the things that came in boxes and had a blurb on the side of what magic it was going to do for me, because nature doesn't have, because sitting with ourselves and, you know, creating that space and connection with ourselves, that doesn't come with, you know, flashy packaging. It just comes as it is, and it's always seems to be the last resort for people. I know it was for me, but it's the thing that's made the most difference. And I'm just really, yeah, I just want more people to kind of find it, I guess.
And it did start, you know, the beginning of this conversation, one of the first things you said was, you know, it is just about getting quiet enough to hear. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, I guess for me, that's where my meditation journey has come in, you know, that's where it's, you know, it started with nutrition, it moved into more physical exercise, and it moved into yoga, then it moved into meditation, and now that meditation gives me the opportunity to listen. And it, you know, I do think people have to come to it in their own time and in their own way.
Absolutely. I mean, I always say what heals you is what you believe in. If you truly believe that doctors will heal you, they will heal you, you will get well. I can never say this is what's going to work for you, because I don't know. You have to resonate with it. You have to say, yeah, actually, there's something about that that I want to try. So really, there isn't one way. There's not one thing. It's just looking at what you believe, looking at trying it and seeing how it feels for you.
So time-wise, we could probably talk
a lot longer.
No, not at all. I love it. I love it. I love the conversation and where it's going. Like, there's so many other things I'd love to dive into, but I would love just to hear a little bit more about like what you've got going on at the moment and where people can find you and kind of connect with you.
So Instagram is where you can find me. So my handle is cfairhurst_. So cfairhurst and then _ at the end. That's where you can find me. So please come say hi. My website is just my name. So clairefairhurst.com. I don't know I in Claire. So I work with people one-to-one, individually, and we pretty much, it's a support really, to empower you to listen to your body, to reconnect with yourself, to all of those things with just physical, spiritual and emotional support. So we can look at anything that comes around. So we can look at some nutrition stuff if you want. We'll also look at energy healing, where you put your energy. Something that I do is look at your past previous medical language of the body. So that means is everything that, so for example, childhood illnesses, chickenpox, so it could be recurring tonsillitis, all of these things, they have an emotional component. So what that means is your body was trying to communicate with you the emotions that were unprocessed and were still hanging around. So why that's important and why I feel it's beneficial is because when you can see those recurring emotions, generally what's happened is they're probably still with you, and it's that's causing you to keep you stuck or not live the life that you know you can, or to not get to a natural state of wellness. So once you look at those emotions, so for example, not feeling like you can speak up may manifest in various things, but over your lifetime, but they keep popping up because it's a reoccurring theme. So the first key is awareness. You know, looking at those and being aware is the first thing. And then we can look at some suggestions of tools and practices to empower you. And we'll look at basic dietary analysis too. So looking at your body's physical needs, but encompassing the whole thing from the whole perspective. So that's one thing that I work with people. And then the second thing is I do design concepts for small businesses. So anybody who's starting up a wellness business, who is maybe a nutritional therapist or a wellness practitioner, to kind of match those visuals of their branding throughout all of their documentation.
So I just have one more question to ask you before we wrap up this conversation. And it's a question I ask most of my guests. And it is, what is the current messy truth that you are unraveling at the moment?
Oh, the current messy truth. I think that the one thing that I'm really kind of unraveling and trying to accept and integrate is accepting praise. Putting my offerings out online and my Instagram, I've been getting a lot of really positive feedback. So lots of people liking what I'm doing and being really generous with their words and their compliments. And I found it really, really challenging to absorb that. So what I find is, you know, you get an email that's like, oh, somebody's a bit grumpy, and you read over and over and over and you soak it all in and you take it in. But the opposite happens when I get some really beautiful feedback. I just kind of scroll past it like a ninja, like super quick, because I just find it really uncomfortable to read that. So I'm really practicing just receiving, the good compliments and really absorbing them. It's still a practice for me, but that's my messy truth right now. I'm trying to be open more to receiving the good compliments and to really fully accept them when they do come. I'm really grateful for the people who do give their feedback and, you know, take the time to message me. So I'm really trying to give time back to that and to soak that in, because it's too easy of us, I think, to deflect it. Oh, your hair looks good today. Oh yeah, I've just had it done. Or I like your dress. Oh, this old thing, you know.
We're constantly
deflecting it. So I'm trying really hard to accept it, to receive it, and fully accept it.
I think just saying thank you is and actually realizing that it's a real gift for the person who's given you that compliment or that praise or whatever it is, for you to then say thank you rather than push it back to them. It's an energy thing, isn't it? It's like being given a gift
Exactly. And it's really important to look at it in that respect, because everything is energy. So if you're, I know that this energy of goodness that I'm blocking receiving, you think, oh, what else am I blocking? You know, because everything is energy. So we're talking about money, blocking that too, community and friendship, you're blocking all of this stuff. So where it happens once in your life, it's not an isolated incident, because everything is connected. So that's my messy truth right now. That's what I'm trying to work through.
I love it. Thank you for sharing that. Honestly.
Waffle.
Oh, I love it. I love a bit of waffle, because I'm just as good at giving waffle. Oh, it's been such a lovely conversation and an honor to share space with you today, Claire. I will post your links in the show notes so everyone can catch up with you there, and we can also potentially carry on the conversation in the Unraveling Deeper Facebook group if anybody has questions. But for now, I just want to say thank you for giving me your time, Claire, and sharing some of your amazing insights and learnings, because, I love how honest and open you have been, and it's really inspiring to me. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And I will speak to you very soon.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Unraveling. If you have enjoyed this conversation and want to listen more, then please subscribe to the show and share it with any friends who might enjoy the journey too. To continue the adventures and connect with other people who are also enjoying the show, don't forget to join the Unraveling Deeper community on Facebook. Here you can delve deeper into some of the topics discussed on the show and also get the chance to ask questions for future episodes. I will also be sharing additional resources that are supporting me in my own unraveling. Just head to facebook.com/groups/unraveling deeper. You can also get in touch with me via my Instagram at laurenbarber.co or through my website www.laurenbarber.co. Until next time, keep trusting the beautifully chaotic process of unraveling.